Okay, if you can kneel, for the sake of the new people that have joined us, please join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this wonderful Sabbath day, this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving us all we need in the coming week with what we learned today. From the study, from the children's study, all the way up until the sermon. And so thank you so much. And the studies that we're going to do later on, because it is Sabbath, and this is a day that we like to dig in a little deeper. And so thank you so much for this day. Please bless everyone here in attendance, and bless everyone on our prayer list, Father, especially those that were mentioned in the text chat and the prayer requests and all that. And we offer this prayer unto you, as we always do, in the name of your precious Son, our Lord, Savior, and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Well, amen, Sister Mindy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we can have a little bit of discussion after church if you want about dress reform in regards to women wearing pants, which didn't start until, I think it was the 1960s in America, when Audrey Hepburn was in that one hollow, I can't remember the Tiffany movie, I think it was called, had the word Tiffany in it, where the first time you ever saw an American woman wearing pants, she was wearing a pantsuit in that. First time ever. That's what Hollywood introduced pants to women. And the Bible is very clear about not doing that. So, okay. Let me pick up my pile of notes here. What do we got going on here? Yeah, today this is, oops. Boy, when that thing goes full screen, it goes full screen. Yeah, covered everything. I mean, it just, I got way too many things going on the screen, and I moved the browser and it just covered everything up. So, but as you know, it's Q&A Sabbath, and I like to answer questions that were sent to me in email or YouTube. I sometimes share a YouTube comment in here. I might even do that this week now that I think about it. But this Q&A Sabbath is going to be answering four emails. Maybe one of them is from YouTube that sought to move me to embrace false doctrine or to do something that I know. Because I get this a lot, you know, especially pastors will email me once in a while and try to say, oh, look, brother, this is what you got. You should be doing. How they ever made it to being ordained as a pastor for some of these guys is just amazes me. And this first one here has to do with the lunar Sabbath, and you all know I got a page on the website all about this. And I'm just putting this, I'm putting these out there because I don't have these kind of questions on the Q&A of Sabbath's Pass page on the website. And I want to have as much of this stuff on the website as possible so that when a question comes in, I just say, hey, go to question or in answer number 274, let's say, you know, because this week we're starting on number 406. And praise God, I uploaded and changed and did the actual, you know, Q&A of Sabbath's Past page. It's up to date again. Last time I did, I waited almost a year. Oh, it took like a whole afternoon just to fix that page or to update it. It only take, because you know, it's a hard page to update, because I got to link out each question. Then I got to link out each audio sermon. Like right now, this audio is going to be part of this collection of answers, if you will. And so it takes a little bit of doing, and I don't look forward to it, but yeah, got to do what you got to do. So anyway, question number 406. You're wrong, Nicholas. Ezekiel chapter 46 verse 1 teaches a lunar Sabbath. And then he says here, he goes, I have read your article on the lunar Sabbath and found a great deal of misunderstanding and misinformation. How do you explain Ezekiel chapter 46 verse 1? Thank you. And then he puts in parentheses, looking for truth only, which is nice. I like it when they say that, because this isn't somebody that's, you know, looking to slam me. But at the same time, the way they talk sometimes, it looks like they're trying to convince me I'm wrong and they're right. And it's not about being right or wrong. I'm just going to go by that which is written. And so I more or less share, please, do a line upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little, there a little, before allowing anyone, and this includes your pastor, to create a doctrine for you. We are in the last days when many false prophets will do exactly as prophesied when it comes to fabricating doctrines and creeds. If you read Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1, and all the way to verse 3, it says this. This is what it really is saying if you read in context. Ezekiel 46, verses 1 to 3. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. I'm thinking some of you already got the clue there. I'm going to keep going, though. Verses 2 and 3. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priests shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, now this is verse 3, this is where it ends. Well, you can go further if you want, but my point ends, well, the context ends here. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. Now I think you got it, right? This is where the lunar Sabbath people are being a little bit confused. The mic went out. Okay, all right. Well, am I back now? Is the mic back on? I know it didn't go out for the stream, but can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, like I was saying, this is where the lunar Sabbath people get a little bit confused in their theology, because it is clear as well in Leviticus 23, verses 23 to 38. You know, I'm not going to read all that, but we went over that weeks ago. But the new moons that are being spoken here and the weekly Sabbath are declared as separate events. That is why Ezekiel said what he said about the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. I highlighted the word "and" for this person in yellow in the passage, so as to clarify the context for him. Because it's obviously separating them. Okay, what they're doing here is these pastors and preachers leading the charge of this false doctrine claim the moon alone dictates the Sabbath, when the Bible clearly says it only dictates the feast days. There is a major difference between a feast day and an annual Sabbath. You know, well, there's a big difference between a feast day, which is an annual Sabbath, and the weekly seventh day Sabbath. What they're doing here is they're mixing the two together. I mean, they use the annual and the weekly as if they are one and the same. It's kind of like the similar to what they do with the ordinances of Moses and the Ten Commandments. They claim that they too are one and the same, and so they should be abolished at the cross, because what went down in Colossians chapter 2, right? In fact, I did a video about this showing about the biblical and prophesied differences between the law of Moses and the law of God. Not going to get into all that either, but you know, we all know what this means. The law of Moses was abolished at the cross. The law of God goes on throughout eternity. Never ends. The Bible's pretty clear about that. There's a bunch of verses, and I put them all on screen. It's really one of my favorite videos. But this happens, this sad thing happens to these poor souls when those with a little bit of light cherry-pick verses without proper Bible study so as to build the doctrine that they can run with to gain notoriety. It's all about the self. But according to Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10, And no, I'm not saying that the person sent me this email is all about doing it that way, but no, I think his teacher is. Because, you know, we used to call them flash in the pans back in the fire talk days. These people would come in with this new theology. Oh, I got new light. Yeah, so, okay, let's check it out. And it turns out it contradicts old light, so we put it down. But some of the others, you know, the guys that bring it in, sometimes they don't want to put it down because it made them look important. Like, hey, look, I'm a prophet. You know, I found something you didn't know about. But the Bible says otherwise. So according to Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10, that's not how new doctrine is defined, you know, the way they're dictating it, you know, by cherry-picking verses. This is how the doctrine is defined. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. In other words, you can't be cherry picking. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You know, if you read something in the book of Ruth and you look later on in the book of James and they coincide, okay, there you go. Or something from Genesis matches up with something from something Luke wrote, you know, the book of Luke or even Acts, you know, and so on and so forth. That's the line upon line, here a little, there a little. In other words, if this theology that they have can't be backed up with Scripture, then we put it down. I mean, it's also prophesied most people today are going to ignore Bible instruction of doctrinal definition because they all wonder after the beast in Rome without even knowing it. See, the devil doesn't care if they know it or not. He has to get them in that mindset to where he has that kind of control so that when Rome does what they're going to do with Antichrist, these people are set and ready to go. And the last thing I'm going to share about feast days in today's Q&A is going to shock some of you as to how this Jesus isn't God thing or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist thing or even the feast day thing and the third temple thing all coincide with the arrival of Antichrist. It's going to shock some of you. I kind of shared a little bit last night on the Friday night meeting. But these poor souls, they build doctrines like this on a regular basis so as to keep the people under their control because they love that flash in the pan pride. Well, they don't consider themselves flash in the pan. They figure themselves burning brightly. Not just for a moment. You know, because a flash in a pan is like the old-fashioned musket. That's where the term came from, flash in a pan. And because the pan was that little area that you would put the ignition powder or whatever. You have the powder inside the gun with the ball, the lead ball. You close it and you have this pan that you put the little tiny... It looks like if you ever put a nickel on a railroad tie and wait for the train to come by and run it over... Yeah, it gets that oval shape, and then that's what the pan looks like. And then sometimes they would ignite it, you know, they'd pull the trigger, and there would just be a flash in the pan. The bullet wouldn't come out. It wouldn't explode. That's where that came from. In other words, all talk, no action is another term, but I don't like that one. I just prefer the, you know, flash in the pan thing. And so if they continue on following after people like this, they're in grave danger if they allow their preachers, their teachers, or their pastors to have the final say when it comes to something that's easily confirmed in Scripture. As for claiming I shared misinformation, I completely forgive you because you no doubt thought you were correct in your findings and so you felt it was your duty was to help me see the light. And I thank you for that. That's very, very kind of you. But the truth from the Lord is what we, the remnant people of God, seek after, and not that which man claims to define, no matter how educated they may be. I mean, look at the Jesuits, the way they can explain one verse using four volumes, whereas Christ will use one verse to explain one verse. Truth is truth. They've got to have the four volumes to throw that confusion out there to make it look like, you know, what you're saying, it kind of makes sense. Or people that can't really get into it, that aren't so intelligent, they'll go, oh yeah, that makes sense, because it makes them look intelligent. Oh yeah, Satan runs with that one too. So if they cannot back it up with a thus saith the Lord, then we are not interested in it. Sure, there are times we need help in Scripture, and so we ask for help from those like-minded brethren that are wiser than us. Matter of fact, I just asked my wife to help me last night. You know, I like asking brothers and sisters that I trust that have, we are on the exact same page, and I says, what do you think I should do with this? And I had discernment that maybe I should not do, you know, say something in a certain way in a video. And I asked Fran about it, and she said, yeah, I wouldn't say it that way either. And so, okay, because she's a lot more gentle than I am. And I want to be, you know, I don't want to be too bold in the videos, you know. And so, but even then, if these poor souls cannot back up what they say with a thus saith the Lord, then we, the remnant church, will not trust it until the Lord's his word speaks on it. And by the way, as I stated earlier, and for those that are new that don't know, I posted many biblical proofs on the Lunar Sabbath page showing what the preachers of the Lunar Sabbath message claim is, and I show them it's not Bible truth. And here's the sad thing. I don't know, some of you heard of the world's last chance and all this other stuff. I didn't send them my page because I know the man that runs World's Last Chance. He used to be a friend of the ministry. And he went off the deep end one day and started saying Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and all this stuff. And so I approached him and tried to help him and did a Bible study with him and all that stuff, and he didn't want to hear it. And I says, well, if you continue on in this path, you're going to start to embrace all sorts of strange things. And so now he preaches Lunar Sabbath as well as Flat Earth, as well as John Paul II was supposed to resurrect when Ratzinger left office, which is Benedict XVI, which when he left office, Francis number one came in, not John Paul II. You know, and so a lot of strange things were happening. And but he, like, it's sad when we see what the way so many people can't. And the reason I bring him up is because he offered $1 million. This guy's a billionaire. I didn't know that until after he left our number, or shortly before he left our number. But he offered $1 million to anybody that could prove the Lunar Sabbath theology wrong. And a bunch of people started putting in all these statements and all these studies, and he kept putting them down, right? And then they approached me, and they says, can we use your Sabbath, you know, Lunar Sabbath? I says, yeah, but he's not going to give you the money. Because they said, we got all the scriptures right there, right where they need to be. And I says, all right, yeah, go for it. But I, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd lay dollars to donuts. You're not going to get a dime. And of course, they never did. So every leader in this Lunar Sabbath movement has been unable to rebuke that page on my site because I let the Lord speak in volumes on that page. You don't need to say a lot when the Bible says all of it. I mean, and I do that on all my pages, especially like the 1,000-year page, where everybody out there is preaching that, you know, 1,000 years of peace on earth. Well, the Bible's pretty clear as to what happens before, during, and after the 1,000 years, so much so that I have hardly any statements for myself and a ton of scriptures to back it all up. But what amazes me is how the Lunar Sabbath proponents always ignore the verses I present that they cannot refute. Now, this is scary when you think about it. Because instead of stepping back to restudy their doctrine, now that they actually have verses in their hands presenting that they're wrong, they're mistaken, instead of, you know, because the pride thing is there, they like the fact that they're leaders in this movement, they can't go all of a sudden say, oh, we messed up, we got to restudy this up. You know, like they did in 1844 on October 23rd. The serious ones went back into study and didn't have an issue coming up saying, oops, we messed up. Most people won't do that. How many times have you heard me and Pastor Craig and some others in our church family that lead out in study correct ourselves the following Sabbath when we said something stupid? I've done it quite a few times. So they choose rather to find new verses out of context to put forth to back their claim. And that is a very telling fruit, for it was prophesied that all the world wanders after the beast in Rome, who does the exact same thing. The demons that control Rome and their pagan dogma that fosters worship of the sun, the moon, the stars, are the exact same demons pushing everything from the lunar Sabbath to the flat earth. You know, I have prayed for this young man, and I hope his eyes are going to be open to see that and our Lord's hand move very soon. And when he does, I ask him to email me, if he can. Okay, number 407, another one. You're wrong, Nicholas. The Holy Spirit is not a person. And this was an email. Okay, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this was definitely an email. He goes, hi, Nick. I was watching a YouTube video of yours. Usually they send this in a comment, but if I respond in a comment, everybody's going to see the response, and some people don't want to do it that way because if they're corrected, it makes, you know, they get shamed, and that's not what it's there for. They should embrace and say, oh, wow, thank you for sharing, you know, I'll dig a little deeper in the Bible. But so this one was emailed. It says, I was watching a YouTube video of yours about how the Holy Spirit is a person. Please see this Facebook page of, and I'm not putting his name out there, and then he also said, see Uriah Smith as well as Ellen White. And what they mentioned about that, the Holy Spirit is not a person. Yeah, can you believe he actually said that? And I'm not here to knock you, brother, but to show you the other side. It is only for correction. Trust all is well with your soul and carry on with the good work. Well, first and foremost, thank you for your concern for me, dear brother. But have you seen my videos about how the Seventh-day Adventist leaders got caught red-handed? Literally changing Ellen White's writings? They have been... Fran, I think the cat wants to... I don't know if she's messing with the door or not. Is she... Yeah. Come on. Go on, kitty. Get here. This will get her going.
There, okay.
She's out? Okay. Whenever I start to clean my desk with my air can, the cat's like, out of here. It sounds like a giant cat hissing at him or something, I guess. So, but anyway, the Seventh-day Adventist leaders got caught removing truth that Ellen White declared and added falsehoods that they fabricated. They are actually the ones, and I couldn't believe this when I discovered this about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. No, I think it was like 2007 or 8 or something like that. I don't know. It was before that little issue happened in 2012 with the West Coast folks. But they are actually the ones, the Seventh-day Adventist leaders, they are actually the ones that started the false doctrine about the Holy Spirit to get the people to blaspheme as well as fall from the path many years ago in Ellen White's day. I kid you not. In fact, Satan tried this false trick with quite a few of the pioneers. But after the truth was clearly presented on it, all of them recanted. And if I ever get the data back from someone I know on the West Coast that said he had the list, I will post how they recanted in writing online, in fact, in a video. And there's also evidence in the Spirit of Prophecy that... this false doctrine on the Godhead would show up again right before Jesus gets back, and so it is. It's happening right now. There's a lot of people out there, ex-Seventh-day Adventists, that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Now, some of the many false prophets in our day recently started out first claiming Jesus wasn't God as well as the Holy Spirit wasn't existing so as to garner souls in their camp. But when the leaders in the Seventh-day Remnant movement got wind of it, we went forth with a whole mess of Bible verses that they never shared with their people. You know, because a lot of people are taking advantage of the fact that most people, like the prophet Amos said, aren't reading their Bibles. And so, yeah, you can just preach just about anything if you just take a couple of verses out of context, make them believe anything. So after their pews started to empty, they quickly changed their false doctrine and decided to only twist the truth on the Holy Spirit from that day forward, because there were just too many verses declaring that, yeah, God the Father called his Son a God, in one verse, in fact, which I share all over the place. But they do this thing with the Holy Spirit, assuming that there was no way to effectively correct them, seeing how this doctrine is so meaty it can be used to confuse the people. But not only are there many verses that say the Holy Spirit is an actual person in the Word of God that they won't share or even comment on when asked about them, because I've tried, there are many statements from Ellen White herself in her original unedited writings that say there are three separate persons in the Godhead. And the only reason I stated that was because the majority of these preachers prefer to only use Seventh-day Adventist pioneers and Ellen White as their basis of evidence. They used to use Scripture, but when it was placed back in context in the videos and the online studies that we were putting out there, they stopped and started to use the edited Spirit of Prophecy books alone. Now, I don't usually do this. Most of you know this. But since the question was asked, and as a falsehood was presented regarding Ellen White's definition of the Godhead, here is just one of many statements that have been removed from her books by the Seventh-day Adventist leaders regarding the biblical Godhead. She said this in 1905 in Special Testimony, Series B, Number 7, page 62 and 63. She literally said this, and they won't show this with their people. She said, there are three living... I'll paste this in the room, and I'll paste this in the stream. Okay, let me get it in the room here first, because I don't want Sean. Sean has to go digging that one up. And then I'll paste it here. I think I crumpled up the paste in the... Okay, it doesn't want to go in the stream for some reason. Oh, it's too many. That's what it is. It's too many. Well, I'll speak slow. There's too many letters. I put a 500 limit on my chat room. It looks like YouTube put 200 character limit. Okay, so there are three. This is Ellen White speaking, all right? And again, like I said, I don't usually do this, but they openly attacked her and claimed she said something she never said. But she said, there are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized. And these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. And no, that is not Trinity preaching. The Vatican Trinity says there is one God in three persons. Like a God blob with three heads on it, right? That is exactly how this new Seventh-day Adventist movement is preaching, but with a well-hidden twist on it, so as to make it appear they aren't following after the beast in Rome when that is exactly what they're doing here. They're preaching one God theology just like the Vatican does. I mean, even Nebuchadnezzar knows there was more than one God in heaven when he was talking to Daniel. Or look at the Pharaoh when he was talking to Moses, mentioning the gods of Moses. Truth is, those that say the Holy Spirit isn't a person are actually preaching the Vatican Trinity using a new name. The devil knows the zeal of the people he confuses, and so he offers them what they think is new light to make them feel as if they discovered a hidden truth they can run with for recognition. And so instead of preaching present truth to ready the people for the coming of the Lord, which Satan fears, these people are moved by Satan to fill their hearts with pride, assuming they are new leaders in a prophesied movement when they're all doing, when all they're doing is preaching the exact same Trinity of Rome under a new name as if it's present truth, and all of them will be unready for the coming of the Lord if they don't stop this silliness and get to work preaching the real present truth. Because nowhere, from Genesis to Revelation, nowhere, you're not going to find this anywhere in any of the 66 books, does it say their message, you know, is what Christ would have them preach to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And just so you know, I'm only sharing what I'm sharing now because this person placed a new slant on the question. As many already know about me and this topic, I no longer discuss it. Because this false dogma, I got so many studies on the website all about this. I even have two recorded events, we call them POGM events, wherein we share the facts online, recorded audios that are on the website with people, I think they were from Australia and some from Canada too, and then a lot from America, obviously, but we shared the facts with many people like this person's leaders in an online conference wherein they could not respond to the Bible verses we were presenting before many witnesses. They just couldn't do it. Right there. But for all these witnesses, the Lord moved me to do this so as to show those being led astray how their own leaders could not confirm their theology with the Bible they trust. We even shared unedited Spirit of Prophecy references, and sadly, these poor souls, these leaders, got extremely angry with us to the point we had to put an end to the meeting. It's all right there in the recording. And their angry words were also recorded in that meeting. I mean, how on earth is that the spirit of a loving God, I ask? I mean, if they have truth as they claim, why do they get so angry and lash out at those that have Bible verses they cannot refute that show they are actually in error? We're showing them the truth because we love them enough to tell them the truth. We're not doing it because we hate them and we want to slam them and, hey, we're right, you're wrong. No, I ain't going to get us to home to heaven. You know, that's 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we're not going to have any of those fruits. And so do a study on why the Pharisees hated Jesus Christ and his followers, is what I was telling this poor soul. Do a study on why the Pharisees hated Jesus and his followers, and you'll know why these people got so angry in that POGM event. But the main reason I stopped discussing this is because, you know, no matter how many Bible verses I give to prove the theology is wrong, the leaders ignore the verses completely. They won't respond to them. And then you come up with another twisted verse to say, well, what if this verse says you're wrong or says otherwise? And so I'm done. I mean, I was actually in prayer about this a few weeks ago. I mentioned this last week, I think, and the Lord revealed to me not to do a new sermon series on this topic. And that's why I'm mentioning this today. Because I was considering, as I already have, you know, a ton of verses to back the truth up on this, and these poor souls don't have a single Bible verse to back up theirs. And so I was actually considered doing like a sermon series on the Godhead. But no, I mean, I got so much online, and I know if I send them the links, they're not going to look at it anyway, and so they're not even going to, they won't even attend this meeting, if you will. This might be why we're low on numbers in the stream, because they know what's, the enemy of souls don't want them around here. So we must let the Bible speak for itself, because all other means have been exhausted. Some people just don't want to see it, and we can't force them. And so I hope this poor soul looks deeper into this, as I have many Bible verses on my Trinity page, as well as SOP references. And the Trinity page is linked out to a whole mess of other Bible verses and whatnot, and studies. And I also show all the Bible verses to back up the truth in the passages that their leaders are actually saying should be removed from the King James Bible. It's gotten that bad. Can you believe it? That because their creed is exposed by the Bible, they decided to remove the Bible verse that exposes their creed. That Bible verse is obviously 1 John 5:7. They say it was never in the early manuscripts, but now we've got proof that they were. Dr. Kyle Baugh actually spent $33,000 on a Bible that was older than the ones that they were purporting, and it's got it in there. As a matter of fact, he's got it under glass in his Creation Museum in Glendale, Texas, I think it is. He's got it under glass open to 1 John 5:7. Because he knew someone else offered $100,000 for the same Bible so as to burn it. It's just like when Vern Bates died. They offered his daughter $1 million for all the books so they can burn them. So anyway, that verse says, "For there are 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." They want that verse out because it goes against their creed. It exposes they are lying. And the reason it says they are one is because just as Jesus said a man and his wife are one, so is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit one, in agreement with all the truth that is written in those 66 books we call the Bible. And as for anything Uriah Smith says, because the person also told me to check out Uriah Smith and what he said, well, he fell off the path later in his life, so it's hard for me to lock down when the enemy was moving his pen, because I can't read hearts. I mean, he may have been off the path years before anybody saw it happening openly. Therefore, I don't trust any of his work at all. I don't read it. I don't discuss it. I don't even comment on it. That's about as far as you're going to go with me on that. And please, I sent a little PS to the guy. I says, please send me the quotes that you have that claim Ellen White said what you claim. I'll make a video about this so as to show how the SDA Church started this false doctrine by editing her real books to that end. And sadly, I must report that I never got an email back, and I've been waiting since May of last year. And so, okay, so question number 408. This one's a little bit in detail, but I don't want to go too long. I mean, it's up to you. This might, we might go, instead of like a 30-minute sermon, it might be 45, but that's okay for everybody. You can throw up a vote there if you want. So, Fran, can you turn that heat down? Let me get this fan going. All right. Okay. Oops. All right, so this next one here, number 408, it says, I still declare myself Seventh-day Adventist. And I'm not gonna. Maybe I should. Should I read this email? It's kind of. It's not too long, but it's. Anyway, it says this. Let me tell you one thing, brother. I have no SDA in my family or circle of friends. My fiance's grandma is a woman speaking, by the way. My fiance's grandma planted the seed, and I asked directly to God to lead me, and He did. He Himself showed me the truth of the Sabbath, and I learned so much. Now, I was sort of raised Catholic, but I considered myself atheist, so as I read God's word, God impressed me to find a church who kept His law and was His church. Welp, and that's how she puts it, welp. I asked Him you want me to now attend a church, and I know in my heart I want to get baptized. He said, search by the church that keeps the true Sabbath, and that is the true church of mine. So I Googled churches in my location, and the only one that popped up that kept the true Sabbath was the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And when I got there, I felt this glory and presence. I cried. I actually bawled my eyes out. I could not stop crying, and he said to me, my daughter, you are home. Now, I went through my own experiences. The pastor does not preach the truth. Did you hear that? She saw it, right? And I know the Seventh-day Adventist Church is under the LGBT church agenda deal. And welp, there she says it again. And welp, as I read the Word of God, it said the true harvest will be established many in my church and outside the SDA church, and the humble and less knowledgeable who don't have a theological degree or whatever, they won't be the ones to preach the last gospel, but those who are the most poor in things but rich in spirit. So I will continue to call myself a Seventh-day Adventist as God leads me. Many in our church will sell us out, but that doesn't mean the fundamental truth this church has been gifted by God and the light Ellen White is not true. It is true. And we can see things happening before our eyes. God bless my brother. For your information, I know my membership is with heaven, not with a church. And after being baptized, I left the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so I listen to certain pastors. God tells me to lead me to, through his Holy Spirit. And he will continue to lead us all of us. And so this is how I responded. Dear sister, please do a study on the early Christian church and how the Lord used used only home churches to start the Christian movement in the days of the apostles when they went forth, and in how in the end times he will again use only home churches to protect the remnant movement due to the same persecution seen 2,000 years ago. It's actually started already all over the world, and the SDR people are proof of that. But and by the way, the term remnant of her seed is rather blunt in prophecy for a reason, dear sister. And just so you know, we only call ourselves Seventh-day Remnant people in our church because, as many poor souls have discovered, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will sue you and even jail you if you use the SDA name in your church work. We know of one family in Texas that found this out the hard way. If you look deeply into our message, you will see that the Seventh-day Remnant Church actually is the Seventh-day Adventist Church in its final prophesied format, along with her infant zeal. We adhere 100% with the original Seventh-day Adventist statement of faith. As a matter of fact, I did a video titled SDA Church Changed, or no, it just says SDA Changed Statement of Faith. That's the name of the video. And I did that back in May of 2019. And that confirms the prophesied declaration of Revelation 12:17, which is, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is angry with the Seventh-day Adventist Church because of what she did during the prophesied ninth hour, which, as we know, was during her early years when her prophetic voice and adherence to God's law exposed the false churches, and especially the Roman Catholic Church. But the prophecy here is plain. The devil is no longer making war with the SDA Church because, as we all know, they have fallen into the arms of Rome and now walk in obedience to Satan. That's what apostasy defines. Satan is now making war with us, the remnant of her seed, because, as also prophesied, we picked up from where she left off. When the obedient people of God in the SDA Church eventually see the truth, as many already have, they too will leave and discover that the SDR people kept the truth intact all along. And so, this is also why we changed our name. For calling oneself Seventh-day Adventist in today's world can be an issue if you are one seeking to share your faith, as is your duty. If you declare yourself SDA and you move a precious soul into the truth, they will naturally join an SDA church just like you did. But they may never come to leave the church as you did, and that can cause a soul to lose salvation. For Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5 is plain, and I'm not going to read it, but we all know what that says about, come out of her, my people. And I'm not calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church the Whore of Babylon. That's a Catholic church. But they are a sister to the daughter, just as prophecy and spirit of prophecy predicted. Bible and spirit of prophecy predicted it. So in today's world, using the SDA church name has many issues that we as obedient Christians in the SDR church can't condone, can't be done. But to keep this short, I'm only going to list 8 of these issues really quickly. Number 1, the SDA name is now synonymous with apostasy and open sin. Everyone knows this now. Globally. Number two, the SDA Church pastors are a church and state image of the beast, 501c3 church, just as prophecy predicted. Number three, the SDA Church defends the Pope now and declares him no longer to be Antichrist. We got that in writing. Number four, the SDA Church openly embraces, supports, and even funds homosexuality. I did a video on that a couple of weeks ago, I think. Number five, the SDA Church declares Allah is the Christian God. Can you believe that? Number six, the SDA Church has ordained women as pastors and general conference leaders. Number seven, the SDA Church has dozens upon dozens of Sunday-keeping churches now. And number eight, and again, this is just a summary, the SDA Church embraces all the pagan holidays of Rome in the exact same way they do. If you've ever seen a Seventh-day Adventist church service on Christmas, you'll know exactly what I mean. That is definitely exactly like a Roman Catholic Mass. Now, I can go on for quite some time, as I have a lot more information confirming all that I listed here at sdaapostasy.org, proving that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is no longer a Seventh-day Adventist Church as it was originally founded. I mean, they would kick Ellen White out of the church along with her husband and all the pioneers. They would literally be disfellowshipped. As a matter of fact, just about every Seventh-day Adventist that is in the Seventh-day Remnant movement have been disfellowshipped by SDA leaders because they tried to help them. So they actually created a brand new denomination using the old name. The SDR Church, on the other hand, were given a new name and declared to be the remnant of her seed, and therefore God blessed us with a well-lit path before us. And so again, you can declare yourself an SDA in private circles, as some in the remnant church will understand your reasons for doing so. I mean, because your godly zeal is very apparent, dear sister. But in the world, to declare yourself SDA to all the uneducated people you hope to evangelize? No, not wise. For they will eventually discover the truth, and your wisdom will be looked at as foolishness. It'll be soiled by the SDA apostate fruit. You may do more harm than good. And since the Seventh-day Remnant truth is now global, we're in absolutely every nation now, and every single solitary nation knows about the SDA Church being apostate, we can finally go forth in truth to help souls in need using the SDR name. After all, you never knew, or you never know who you're preaching to. We don't read hearts. We can't read hearts. I mean, the truth is that you may come across a child of God who knows how evil the SDA Church is, and you don't know he knows that. And they will walk away from you to seek the Seventh-day Remnant Church instead, because the movement you state, or you know, the moment you state yourself to be SDA, they'll go, oh, I'm out of here. I mean, worse yet, if you were to show good fruit that I know you have unto them, and then declare yourself to be SDA unto them, they may get confused and join the apostate church thinking they are safe like you. They don't know you're out of it when you say you're SDA. As far as they're concerned, you're in it. And so they would be forever lost by ignoring the command of Christ in Revelation 18. So be very careful on how you identify yourself to those precious souls that the Lord's sending you away, because he's watching what you're doing now. He's going to test you. And now here's the last question that was given me for this Q&A Sabbath. I got a few hundred more, obviously, but number 409, this is where we're going to end it this week. Why are you so against keeping the feast days? And then the email, or I this could be a YouTube thing. Dear Nicholas, I simply do not understand why you feel we need not keep the feast days anymore. And I'm not going to, that's all he said. And I'm not going to share dozens upon dozens of Old and New Testament Bible verses to back what I preach or why I preach this, as I already did this on my feast days page on the website, as well as my Abolished at the Cross page and video, which I linked out in this email to this dear soul. So I pray that they look at into the studies and see the verses that their pastor seems unable to share with them. Perhaps their pastor knows, in so doing, you're going to have a bunch of questions he just can't answer, and he doesn't want to take that chance. But I do believe the Lord would have me share this with you. In fact, this came to me as I was in prayer about questions just like this. And then I get this email. Just as the Jews, check this out, used their chosen people of God claim over the people for eons, and for quite a while it was true, and caused them to have real power from on high. When they rejected Christ, we know they lost their favored nation status in the Lord, as it was then transferred to the Christians. We are now Israel. That act of God moved them under the guidance of Satan to crave the power they used to have over the people by any means necessary. You know, it's kind of like the has-beens in Hollywood. They can't get a job to make a movie, so they'll go political so they can get back in front of the camera. Any means necessary to get where they used to be, they're going to go for it. And that's what we see happening today. Now, I'm not going to get into all the verses in the New Testament that show how they attacked Jesus and then later the apostles out of fear they were losing their power over the people, because most Christians already know this is common knowledge today. But what most Christians fail to see is that they also seek to do the same with the modern day Christians as they did in the early Christian church, for there are billions of people now claiming Christ Lord. I mean, think about this. Satan knows how he has soiled their hearts with pride of power, and so this is why the ordinances have come back into the church, not ours, but, you know, the church, you know, the apostate churches, because of a few false shepherds, you know, about these feast day things. You know, when we look back, we see Paul had the deal with the Jews, you know, seeking to gain control again by demanding the Gentiles needed to be circumcised as well as keep the feast days. And so it is today. Well, except maybe the circumcision, but 2,000 years ago, the Jews started denominational schisms, if you will, by seeking out groups of new Christians by infiltrating them and claiming some must now follow after Paul, and or some would say, oh, we follow Apollos, and some would say, oh, no, we're followers of Cephas, or even Barnabas, whatever, you know, or even pick some of the apostles, like or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you know. Splitting them up like this allowed for some to adhere to circumcision, and some to keeping the feast days, or some of the old ceremonies that were actually abolished at the cross. And so Paul had a lot of extra work he had to do, just like today. Today, you know, which is 2,000 years later, the very same demons are at work, but now they are using different players. Today, we see many false shepherds out there bowing to Satan's lies, wherein they get some people to declare we must keep feast days. Some declare Jesus isn't God, and some even declare the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. This is what I was saying about earlier. This, what I'm about to share may shock some of you, and how this is all being set up right before your eyes, and most people are missing it. Okay, that person in the stream, you might want to ban them. I don't know if they're coming in here just to troll, then just block them. Anyway, because it's childish what they're trying to do, and it's obvious when I'm coming into this area of the study that the enemy of souls is going to do what he can to try to confuse and distract the people of God that are serious about their walks and want to know the truth. All these false doctrines, you know, the feast day thing and the Jesus isn't God thing or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist thing, all these false doctrines bring about the exact same one God theology of the Jewish nation back into the Christian church, and therefore the Jews that have been under Satan's control for 2,000 years with abject hatred of Jesus Christ can once again stand at the head of the church, but even in a stealthy manner. They don't care as long as they're there. Anyway, for quite some time, they did this in a stealthy manner by simply garnering the trust of the political leaders only, who openly declare the from Christian nations like the USA. They say that the Jews are still the chosen people of God when the Bible says, no, they are not. They deny the Son of God openly. In their Babylonian Talmud, they say he's standing in, like, up to his neck in feces in hell. That's how disgusting they are, you know, against our Lord and Savior. The Jews who hate Christ, the Jewish leaders, I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I never talk about the people. It's always the leaders, because they're the ones that cause these problems. But the Jews who hate Christ have now seen their lies grow in acceptance all over the world, to the point that right now many people claiming to be Christians actually see the need for a third temple. Can you believe that? I mean, there isn't a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to say, there's no prophecy that says anything about a third temple. I mean, that not only grants the Jews a massive upper hand once again, because if they get that, well, you know, if they get the temple, because they're already breaking ground on it, that gives them an upper hand, a massive one, politically and religiously. And it also gives them a really, really powerful stance to declare Jesus Christ was not the Messiah, especially when the Vatican version steps in. I mean, to have a third temple means the sacrifices must begin again, which then declares that Jesus, what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago, was not the long prophesied sacrifice of salvation. This new one is. And since many believe that Jesus isn't God now, and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist to them, or feast days must be kept, and a third temple is needed, can you see where I'm going with that? Satan can now stand as Messiah before billions of people in the world, because once he does that, he can garner more control over the few hundred false shepherds who are loyal to Satan's lies, and get them to publicly step up claiming that they are now the men of God who can be trusted, because the lies that they have preached for a decade on how, you know, like with the Jesus and God thing, or the third temple necessary thing, or whatever, they could say that they've been preaching this for a decade. And we have now come forth with this truth because, brothers and sisters, we're in the age of lying. The truth is no longer believed. Truth is a lie, and a lie is a truth now. And these false shepherds that declare Jesus isn't God, or we need to keep the feast days, he himself, that Jesus himself declared, we're finished at the cross. These false shepherds can now garner many more deceived people into their camp to accept Satan as Messiah, especially if the Lord allows him to get that temple, that third temple built. Even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter, because he can still stand there and declare he needs his third temple. Satan can stand up and says, well, let's build it. You know, he's not telling the people that the world's going to end long before they finish. He doesn't have to tell them that. He just wants them to follow his lead. And just so you know, if anyone thinks such lies like the ones I just listed that are being preached by these false prophets are lies that won't be embraced by most Christians, may I remind you of how most Christians today actually believe and think they have Bible verses to back up Sunday as the Sabbath? Or millions of people believe that you will live for all eternity in hellfire screaming at the top of your lungs? Many people, many millions of Christians believe there is a secret rapture, a seven-year tribulation, or some even believe in a flat earth as well as the Trinity lie of Rome without so much as a single Bible verse to back any of it up. So if they'll believe all that, they're already primed and ready to believe Satan when he stands and says, I'm Messiah, give me a third temple, Jesus isn't God, Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and hey, you better be keeping those feast days. The only reason people declare feast days and a third temple are needed is because Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And so Satan will do all he can to confuse that basic fact in the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of those that refuse to study their Bibles. And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.